Greetings, this is Greg, and I have an interview here with Scott Rosenbaum, the producer, showrunner of Fox TV's Gang Related. It's a new show coming on this summer. It's about 3 or 4 episodes in as this is being posted, I believe. This interview was done at the ATX Festival, the third annual ATX Festival, I should say, and it was done in the Gibson Room. Scott had some pretty interesting things to say about the genesis of the show, how he got involved, and also on departing Fox TV executive Kevin Riley. Sit back, listen, and enjoy.
I guess, what's the genesis of the series? Like, how did it come to you, how did the idea come up?
Well, actually, so the way the idea came up was, I didn't create the show. Like, Chris Morgan, who wrote the Fast and Furious movies, right, did. And as he tells the story, he was watching, there was a news article, I guess, it wasn't like similar to like the Northridge shooting in California, but essentially what happened was the cops went on a call. They got there. There were armed guys with very sophisticated weaponry, and as the police were trying to shut them down, they noticed that these guys were using these really precise military tactics, and they were just not just out armed, but just the sophistication of the way the bad guys were getting out. It was like and ultimately what they realized is that these were guys who were working for a gang, and they were I think it was a Salvadoran gang, but they had been in the Salvadoran army. They were sort of like special forces, and when their duty was done, the cartels were saying, hey, we'll pay you to be our guys. And rather than just some guy with a, you know, local dude, they were getting these professionally trained soldiers to do their dirty work for them. And so Chris thought that came up that, well, that'd be interesting if a local gang did the same thing. And ultimately it turned into Ryan, who was an orphan and got brought in and into the police department, and that was sort of the genesis of his idea. And then he created the pilot. And how it came to me was that I had worked on The Shield and with Kevin Riley at FX, and when they were going to pick it up in pilot, they needed a showrunner because Chris was busy doing features, but also it was his first TV show, and they wanted someone to work alongside with him. And he recommended me, so they sent me the script. And what I actually was really intrigued by more than anything was the idea of it was more about this, the Costa family getting out, and how Ryan was the key member of that. So, and that without his help, the Costa family can't get out. However, I also found it really intriguing that he really started caring about being a cop. And so for me, the excitement was, what is he going to do? How bad do things have to get on both sides before he makes a decision? And he does have to make a choice. And again, you know, one of the first choices he makes that's very specific was in today's episode. I don't know if you saw it, but in the episode tonight for the first time, it's Peros, which is the one, I don't know if you saw the screening, but
episode 3?
It would be the third episode. But anyway, it's the first time in his life that Javier asks him to do something, and this is sort of giving away the plot of this episode, but at the very end he says no, because it's gone too far for him, and it becomes a snow, and then the question, and it's the, and now his journey really begins, which is, what is he going to do, and how far can Javier push him before
it's pretty interesting, because in the first episode he kind of made one of those decisions dealing with his partner and Javier's son.
Well, you make a good point. Is in the pilot, he does say no to Javier, but not to his face. By having Carlos shot, that's essentially him saying, I'm not cool with what? A Costa family member hurting a cop.
Right.
But Javier doesn't know it.
Yeah.
This is the first time that he, to his face, says, I'm not going to do it. You know, he can never fess up for what he did with Carlos.
Yeah.
But this is his first sort of time where he doesn't do it behind his back. He actually just draws the line in the sand and says no.
What influences from your past shows do you bring to Gang Related, or how do they influence maybe the way some of the things you do with Gang Related now?
Well, the show that probably would be most comparable to it, and everyone has sort of brought this up, is The Shield.
Yeah.
But also, just, you know, ultimately, I was very aware of that, and I didn't want the show. I didn't want people to compare it to it because they're such different entities, and they're different. And there's some similarities, I think, in terms of some of the underpinnings of the drama, which is obviously you've got a dirty potentially dirty cop in Ryan, and you've got a dirty cop in Vic Mackey. And each of them, in their own minds, is doing it for the right reasons. But I never wanted that. That it really isn't the show. I mean, I think the closest thing that I would say is that I think that we, one of the things we did on The Shield, which I thought was which I would say I did translate to the show, mm-hmm. was that we showed in that show when the cops did something bad, we saw the ramifications of what happened to the community, to the people, you know, people, they would kick someone out of a house, you would feel that pain of that family being pulled out of the house, even if you thought it was okay because the son was a drug dealer, there was a mother who didn't deserve, and who you know, we built this interesting.
Like everybody's kind of a victim when the police go beyond their bounds.
Exactly, and so I think with the, and so one of the things that I wanted to do on this show was show that the gang violence, the ramifications it had, not just on the community, not just on the police, but how it affects the people themselves. Meaning, how is Carlos, because he killed Tanner, Ryan gets him shot up, now he's a cripple, and now seeing how he has to deal with the repercussions of his actions, and how, and as the series goes on, one of the things we were very particular about was showing how Javier, how everything that he does comes back to affect him, to hurt him, and so that was something that was exciting and sort of, I think, gives a lot of the season as a whole a richness. That that's definitely something that we took from The Shield, but they're totally different shows. Just on the surface, I think they appear to be similar.
Well, that it seems like that kind of ambiguity goes with kind of the whole both sides of the team, because you figure, like in the second episode, where Tay goes, he seems to have like certain animosity toward the way Ryan handles his stuff, but then he goes and helps. Let's see, I make sure I get her name right.
Inbar
as V, yeah, to go help her figure out her HIV status,
right?
I like cop procedurals. My father was a retired narcotics agent. So I've never seen that before. I've never seen, like, when they go into a drug house, somebody sticks them with a needle and what the ramifications are for that.
Right.
And then how she handles it is always pretty interesting to me, too.
Yeah. I mean, which also brings up, too, is the ramifications of all, like, not just the bad guys, but the cops. So, you know, for instance, they, you know, the reason they're even in that, in that drug house is because Ryan shot, Ryan's dirty and Ryan works for the Acostas and ended up shooting Carlos.
Right.
And all of that, and so for, I wouldn't blame him necessarily, but she gets stuck with a needle and ends up with HIV because of him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know that yet.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's what I mean by, like, when I was talking about the chain reaction of all that stuff, that snowballing, it all sort of comes from, the last thing in the world Ryan would ever want is something bad to happen to V.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the things that happen to all these people down the road, again, I don't want to give it away, are because of that.
But that's great. I mean, that's what keeps me coming back and keeps the intrigue going. One last one, because I think we got to wrap up. And this is just something that, if you don't want to answer, this is fine, but was there any issues with the show or anything since Kevin Riley stepped down? And me, because I always thought, just reading his interviews and things that he was saying about kind of moving the TV business forward, I thought he was one of the more forward-thinking people in television. And as a writer and producer, how are you dealing with, like, the changes in the dynamic of the industry?
Well, the first part is in regards to Kevin, the show hasn't been affected by that at all, because we'd finished shooting before this happened, and we'd even aired before this happened.
Yeah,
Personally, I am a huge fan of Kevin Riles. I think he's incredibly intelligent. I owe him, you know, part of the reason my career exists is because he was brave enough to put The Shield on.
Yeah.
No one else would when he was running FX. And he's just a smart, intelligent, great guy, and he is an innovator. And I think that he's right. I think that the idea of doing year-round programming will work, and I think it's a very intelligent thing to do.
Yeah.
Question is just finding the right programming for it. You know, you need shows to work, and I think that. But I think that comes down to that's not always necessarily something anybody can predict, is who's going to watch what.
Right.
But I think the idea of trying to take a cable model and do 13 episodes and keep people coming back to network TV and not just shutting off network TV all throughout the summer, I think he's absolutely right, and I think everyone is going to be doing that. In fact, CBS already is doing it. CBS did it last year with Under the Dome, which is a big success for them, and they're going to have some other, they're going to continue doing it. So I think that that is going to be something that happens in the future, and I think, you know, he just decided, you know, he wanted a new challenge and stepped away from it and from running FBC, but... I'm sad that he's gone, but you know, well, there'll be a new. And the weird part is we don't know who's going to be running the network right now, so that's where there's like this weird vacuum. And so everybody who has a show on the air, all the actors are a little nervous because the person who decides if the show gets picked up is the person who's running the network. So right now we have an empty seat there. But there is a great team underneath him, guys like Joe Early and Terrence Carter, who are running, you know, handling everything while he's gone until someone new comes in. So this FBC will be fine because they have really great executives.
Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Much luck with the show.
Okay.
And I hope you enjoy your time in Austin.
Oh, thank you very much.